I was going to make a comment. Isn't it true that Israel was supposed to be a theocracy? Theocracy meaning a system in which God was to be their king or their ruler, and not any man as such. It was a theocracy. That's a word that I think others should understand what it means.
Wasn't the beginning that God wanted a kingdom of priests? That the Israel was to be a kingdom of priests? You know what happened? Sin came in.
That is why the Levitical priesthood came in as well. It was confined to only one tribe. That was the judgment, because he wanted all the people to be priests.
But we have to think of, because sometimes we are acquainted with the thought that God wanted to reign, rule over his people. It just only God had no problem of raising up kings to represent him. You see, what offended the heart of God in the book of Samuel is they wanted a king like the nations.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, you never read any problem with the blessed God of King of Peace. You never read any problem, as far as God is concerned, about Moses being a king. So the establishment of a king itself, for seen in a man to represent God, is not in opposition to the mind of God. The problem is that, and Samuel will come to it, the pursuit of the king. But how interesting it is that the first features of the three kings, if you will, Adam, then you have King of Peace, and Melchizedek, King of Righteousness, and then you have Moses, king. None of them, and with the exception of Adam, I should say, but I like the other two, had a kingdom. You never read he was the king of Israel. Moses, what kind of kingdom he has? All what he did is he led the people into the wilderness. That tells you what is in the mind of God. That king is not only about a borders about the kingdom. It is a spiritual leader, because I want to come to this. What was called Moses? What made him king? He was a leader. He led them out of Egypt. And he didn't go into the land. He never knew the land, except 2,000 years later, maybe. But he never knew the land. He only saw it. But kingship in the sight of God is a man that does not only provide the authority, the kingdom, protect the borders, if you will. It is also a person that brings a moral standard. That's the king of Melchizedek, king of righteousness, king of peace. But it is also a feature of leadership that is seen in a man like Moses. And these many features are seen in a king. That's why it takes so many kings. You put them all together, and yet combined, they cannot speak of Christ. And this is the third session to come to. But I just wanted to bring that thought, that although there was no kingdom, but yet Moses was a king, because he was a good spiritual leader.
It's good to look at the contrast between the kings that Israel wanted to have one like, and the king that God wanted. Because there's kings mentioned before Melchizedek in the same chapter in Genesis. And it's very interesting that this world already had that kind of rule. Shortly after the fall, in the family of Cain, came this kind of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it? It was a desire to have power over people, to rule over people, not with a view to leading them in righteousness, but with a view to having control over them and using them for their own purposes. And we see it today. It goes on to this very day. This world uses power for itself, for self-gratification. And we even hear of some of these rulers and kings that leech all the money out of a country so they can gain big bank accounts in Switzerland. You know, it's just sick. Man, the sinner is sick. And yet I think we see it in chapter 14 of Genesis. We see Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, title King of Nations.
Chapter 14
of Genesis, yeah, verse 9. And we see Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings with five. And so we had kings before that in verse 8, but it's very interesting. They exercise power over people and use it for their own advantage, to gain possessions, to gain land, to gain glory, and to gain power. But it's very different with God's men.
Amen.
Because with regard to what God is interested in, he's interested in what reflects something to do with himself.
That's right. And that's why I mentioned that he was the first king to be mentioned according to the mind of God.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. But it's very interesting difference, because we have to be careful in this day as saints with these two different attitudes. Talk about spiritual men. There are some who love to have power over the saints. And there are those that love to lead the saints on in the way of example, in the way of right leadership, to lead them in the interest and will of God. And so the same principles, even though they're very early in Genesis, are still with us to this very day. And so we have to be careful about this in our own hearts. Because the tendency in our own hearts, especially if somebody is gifted or they are very eloquent, you know, there's dangers of seeking to have some kind of power over people. Because there are those in churches that are very gifted orators, and they actually, they rule the congregation. What they say is divine word, whether it's right or wrong. And I think it's really important for us to really look and see, and we'll get to this, I know, the perfect king, we'll get to him, is the only one who is really the model of true leadership among God's people.
I got a question.
We have a name mentioned in 3 John and verse 9, Theotrophes. Mm-hmm. Who loves to have first place among them. The assembly, that is. Mm-hmm.